The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Macro Macro News for Thursday, the 2nd of January, 2025. Yes, new year, new me, new you. And we all want something. We all look forward with optimism in a new year. And do you know what? I'm quite bullish. I know, listen, to be in equities, you have to be quite bullish anyway. Otherwise, why would you invest anyway? But I think if the governor, Andrew Bailey, gets a bit more aggressive on interest rates, as he said he would do, I'm going to be really aggressive now. Ooh. And they reduce interest rates four times this year, minimum, I think, then the markets will react positively, I believe, because they are the biggest mover of markets, central banks. And of course, interest rates come down. There's less money going to be parked in safer assets or earnings, interest rates, you know, money markets, all that stuff. And they'll come back into equities. And they'll be very bullish. And the thing is, everyone's, you know, bullish at the top, bearish at the bottom. Now think of that. Bullish at the top. And in America at the moment, the markets are very bullish out there because they've had a good run. These are the results from last year, okay, for the UK markets and US markets. So for UK, the FTSE did 5.69% for the year. FTSE 250 did 4.74%. The FTSE All Share did 5.57%. FTSE Small Cap did 6.52%. But AIM, it was in the negative. AIM 50 down 3.64%, AIM 100 down 6.46%, and the AIM All Share down 5.72%. So, of course, people are very bearish on AIM. But that's the best time to invest, when people are bearish, because I said people are bearish at the bottom. And we've had so much gloomy news out there. You know, it's all out there, isn't it? I mean, unless we get, you know, left field, even more gloomy news, you're going to see about. But there's a lot priced in. There's a heck of a lot priced into AIM. There's been companies delisting, not only from AIM, but the main market of London as well. And so when you have levels, when you have periods where everyone's very bearish, the general feeling, the general sentiment is negative, it's quite a good time to invest. Now, you know, compare this with American markets. NASDAQ up 28.64%. Russell 2000 up 10%. S&P 500 up 23.31%. And the Dow even up 13%. And everyone's still, you know, really bullish on the US markets, even though valuations are very stretched. And they're stretched to the point where they haven't been like this since 1998-99. Now, we know what happened there. And momentum can carry on for a while. It's hard to sort of time macro issues. But I do believe right now that I prefer to be in, you know, UK markets than US markets. But of course, in the book, I do talk about you should have a strategy where the backbone to your portfolio should be a fund that is a low-cost, well-diversified, and that should include US equities. You're not missing out on exposure there. But as far as individual stocks are concerned, I think there's some great undervalued companies in the UK worth doing some research on. You know, I don't know if it's going to be this year. I think it could be this year with the central bank's going to, but I do believe we're not far away from a big rally in the UK. And I mean on small, you know, micro nano cap companies. I believe they will rally aggressively. I don't know when, but they will, because they've been so oversold now. And like I say, everyone is bearish at the bottom. So if everyone's very bearish right now, and they are, it's been bearish for a long time, then we are close to the bottom here. All right. Okay, let's look at some, let's look at the markets first of all, see what's happening. Let's go first of all to the FTSE 100. It is up 31% to 8,198. FTSE 250, it's down 31%, 20,562. AIM All Share, it's up 0.4% to 722. What else we got there? Any other sort of markets in there? The gold, sort of the commodities. Gold, where is it? It's there. It's up 0.5% to 2,654. It's Bitcoin. I don't know if it's commodities or what it is, really. But it's up 2.4% to 96,650. I do think this year, if you have a big collapse in cryptocurrency, I think it could be one of the biggest yet. Especially when you have people like MicroStrategy, Sayer, leveraged the hilt on it. He's gone bankrupt before during the Great Financial Crisis. He went, again, he went full tilt on .com and he collapsed. And he's done the same now on Bitcoin. It's fine when it's up and it's rallying, but he's super leveraged on that. And I think that could cause, I think he holds over 2% now of Bitcoin, which, you know, it's a lot of Bitcoin to collapse. So again, be careful of crypto. Everyone's bullish at the top and everyone's bearish at the bottom. What else? Brent crude, $74 a barrel. What is there? There's copper. Where is copper there? Copper is, sorry, I always got to find, scroll down to get the ton valuation of this because people are looking down. It's been down a few days. 8,862. In fact, I don't think figures from China were that good. The factory figures are just flat, basically, I think. So, yeah, that's weighing on that. What else was there? Something, one of the commodities, wasn't there? No, I've covered them all. Gold, Bitcoin, yeah. 10-year yield, government bond yield, 4.5%. It's down sort of 0.8%. The 2-year yield is at 4.35. It's down 0.6%. And a pound will buy you €1.20, and it'll also buy you $1.24. Okay, let's look at some macro news. It's a bit gloomy. Like I said, a lot of this is gloomy. Remember, the markets rally before the real world economy. Okay, now we've been, you know, having some really bad news out for at least since the election. So how much of this is priced in? And Europe's dreadful as well. But UK factories report sharpest contraction in nearly a year, PMI shows. British factory activity shrank at the fastest pace in 11 months in December, and manufacturers cut staffing levels due to higher taxes and weak foreign demand, the latest in a string of weak readings on the economy. The S&P Global UK Manufacturing Purchases Managers Index sank to 47 from 48 in November and was below a preliminary reading for December of 47.3. Rob Dobson, director at S&P Global Market Intelligence, pointed to a stalling domestic economy, weak export sales, and concerns about future cost increases, including from higher taxes on businesses announced by Rachel from accounts. Yeah. Okay, Joe, I'm sick. I haven't got any hair anyway. But I can't pull any more hair out of this, over what they've done. Like I keep saying, the budget was exactly the opposite of what you should do if you want growth. Pretty much. They could just flip that and, you know, reduced regulation and costs on business, and we've had a good economy now. It's been thriving. But they've hit it on several levels. They not only came out gloomy, hit sentiment first, then they came out with a lot of, you know, tax hikes that also hit real-world business. The survey's measure of staffing hit its lowest since February as firms face rising cost pressures from higher transportation and raw material costs, as well as from the social security increase for employers, which will start in April. Weak economic growth outside Britain pushed exports to their sharpest fall in 10 months, and overall new orders fell by the most since October 2023. It's very gloomy, isn't it? The only rescue from this is literally, because now everything got up cost-wise because of Rachel from accounts and robot Starmer, the only savior here is interest rates coming down. But again, you know, Bailey, the governor, is now... He's flipped from being aggressive on interest rates coming down to being more cautious because of the budget. Everything stems from that. So it was going to be fine. If she just shut her trap and not said anything in the budget, the economy would be a lot stronger. So, but no, read some accounts. So, yes, I'm an economist. Are you an economist? You weren't, you know, at the Bank of England, you were a lowly sort of, you know, researcher. Never worked for a business in your life, apart from HBOS, which, I mean, I think you were customer complaints, weren't you? So, and she's in charge of her finances. Obviously, and to me, that budget gave a classic example of her knowing nothing about what makes business tick or the economy tick. Because she literally threw about 24 spanners in, 40 billion spanners into the works. I think that's how much debt they raised, or 70 billion, which one it was. Next macro. UK house prices rise for the fourth month in a row, says Nationwide. House prices rose for fourth consecutive month in December, ending 2024 on a strong footing, Nationwide said, with the cost of an average home hitting how much? The average home is worth £269,426. The Building Society's monthly tracker found prices in December, this is, rose 0.7% on the previous month and were up 4.7% on an annual basis. And it's literally like that, isn't it? House prices. Around about 5% every year, you know, on average. A cracking little sort of return. If you own a house, you know, literally you can't fail. Once every 10 years they drop. And they carry on going upwards. This marks the strongest rate of annual price inflation since Nationwide recorded 7.2% in October 2022, the month after the former Prime Minister Liz Truss and Chancellor Kwasi Kwarteng's disastrous mini-budget sent borrowing costs soaring. And finally, last macro story, Lidl has had its most successful Christmas trading period on record, the supermarket chain said, boosted by a rise of a third in party food sales. Ooh, I say. Revenues rose almost 7% to more than £1 billion over the 4 weeks to Christmas Eve, as customers bought 16 million pigs in blankets. It's an awful phrase, isn't it? Pigs in blankets. Because essentially, it's a part pig wrapped in their own skin again, which is bacon. Well, taken apart, ripped apart, and then reconstructed, and then wrapped in their own skin. It's not really a blanket, is it? It's their skin. And they sold a turkey every second. Wow. That's a lot of dead pigs and turkeys, isn't it? Sales were also helped by an increase in the number of its shops this year, although there are signs that growth may be slowing. I think they did 12% growth last year, 7% growth this year, but of course, if you get bigger, growth will slow down as a percentage. Meanwhile, the chain has joined many of its rivals in arguing that tax rises announced in Rachel from Accounts' budget could lead to job losses and higher prices for customers. Well done, Reeves and Starmer. Okay, so micro news. Tribe Technology suspension. While they post their accounts, they're delisting anyway. As along with DJ Innovate, was announced a while back. But it's like there's a common denominator here among small companies who are delisting from, you know, the main market and AIM, and that's their loss making, and they're not commercial. on their idea, their story, their hope of potential stocks. But in this environment with high interest rates and where it's difficult to raise funds, they're going to come unstuck. And I genuinely think we need these companies to delist anyway, because AIM has too much trash on it. As an index, I mean, you know, there's no point buying a stock picker's market, so there's no point buying a fund of AIM because there's so much trash on there. But I think we need quality, not quantity, because it's got a bad name, AIM, for a lot of trashy stocks, when there are some cracking businesses on AIM. People overlook that, because many private investors are just punting, you know, the loss-making crap. And then when, you know, a company gets suspended, it goes under, that grabs all the attention. You know, some of the well-run companies that are profitable and growing don't get any attention. That baffles me because they're the best performers over a long, medium, long term. But it's generally the trash, you know, that loss-making, it's all about the story. People fall in love with the story. That's the trouble. Many of these, you know, blue sky plays never play out. The high risk, high reward, that means the chance of you getting a big reward or any reward is hard, you know, is very low. The risk is high. You're better off going for a lower reward that's more attainable. It's just a question of probability. So Stripe Technology is delisting, and DJ Innovate. Gfinity as well has become a trash company now. I mean, let's be honest. It was sort of getting somewhere, and then it didn't happen, and it collapsed. And now they're trying. I don't see why it's still listed, to be honest. I know that's a bit of a story, but it's suspended due to accounts not being filed on time. And I think there's no excuse for this, really. I mean, a while back, there was a shortage of, you know, auditors and all that stuff. But pending publications, companies' annual auditor accounts. I mean, you know you have a deadline. You know, you're paid, you're a listed company. Work to the deadline. I don't understand the issues there, but... You find, you know, generally, quality companies don't miss their deadlines for publications of accounts. Unless, like I said, there's a problem with auditors, there's a shortage, but, you know, that happened to several companies. But, yeah. Anyway, next, Revolution Beauty, RevB, the multi-channel mass beauty brand, announces that it has entered into a confidential settlement with Chrysalis Investments Limited. Chrysalis will not proceed with any claim against the company. The company has agreed to pay Chrysalis a non-material sum, which will not have a material impact on the company's financial and cash position. So let's look where RevB are today. They're up 28% today. Their market cap is about 55 million. They're going to be doing, they say, what, for 2024, they had 191 million in revenue. 2025, they're going down to 155. But the profit before tax is going to be going from 4.3 to a loss before tax of 5.6. But they are expected to recover in 2026. Revenue is expected to go from 155 to 166. And they're expected to do a profit before tax of about 5.4 million. So maybe worth a watch there, see if they can pull that off. Tasty, the owner and operator of restaurants in the casual dining sector, announces the following update. By the way, they've got a market cap of, what is it, 2 million, I think? It's a wonder it's still listed, to be honest. Just under 2 million. But this is an insurance settlement. The company has agreed a full and final settlement with its insurer for the amount of 2.5 million in relation to a claim for breach of a contract for insurance for losses arising in 2020. The settlement sum is payable to the company within 21 days. Or to the company, okay. So going to get some money from that, and then it's going to need it. But they did a trading update here today, and I've never read anything so grim. Literally, you couldn't get more grim than this trading update. Listen to this. So they do have net liabilities at the moment of 3.1 million, but 3 million net liabilities. So there's no value in the equity there. But as reported in the company's interim results on the 30th of September, H1 was a period of significant change for the group, with the reshaping of the estate and wholesale changes to the group's operating structure. The casual dining market continues to contend with several adverse factors, including a decline in consumer confidence and a discernible decline in discretionary spend, inflationary pressures on food, increases in national minimum wage, and following the UK's government's budget on October 24, an increase in employers' national insurance contributions from April 2025. Wow. Trading H2 24 continued to be challenging, and in particular, the key December period has been disappointing. In these uncertain times, the board is maintaining a cautious outlook. A further trading update will be made in mid-January 2025 for the year ended 31st of December. Could it get more grim? So their revenue for 2023 was 46.9 million. And they had a loss before tax of 1.9 adjusted. For 2024, they expect to do 38.9. So from 46.9 to 38.9. So it's an 8 million drop. And profit, well, loss before tax is around about 400K adjusted. So it's an improvement on the 1.9 million loss. And they are saying, the brokers are suggesting they could be profitable or return to profit in 2025. With 34.8 million. So the revenue's dropping here, I'm assuming, because they're closing some restaurants. But they are going to do an adjusted profit for tax of 100K. So, doesn't look very good there, does it? Oh, by the way, I forgot to say, my book is so annoying. It's sold out again on Amazon. I think, why aren't you stocking enough? It's obviously a very popular, it's obviously a very popular book. But what was annoying is I was number one bestseller in one category, number two in another category, and even the biggest category that has some of the biggest investment books of all time, I got number 15. And now, because they can't sell any, Amazon delayed it again, they've run out of stock. It literally is, you know, what are they saying? January the 20th is when they can deliver now, which has knocked my sales, of course. By the way, if you want to join, there's still some places left, but there's literally around about less than 30. There's 100 spaces available with 50% discount from the ShareFix investment. All you have to do is buy the book. If you enjoyed it, give it, you know, 5-star rating review, and you get 50% off the ShareFix Investment Club. Only available to 100 people because the club can't get too big, because otherwise I become an admin person. I become like Rachel from accounts. Just admin, and I don't want to do that. It's more of a stock picking. So it's only available to 100 people, and so now there's about 30 spaces left. So 70 spaces have gone in the last month, or less than a month. So there may be a week or so left, because people, you can buy it on other platforms, by the way. Just go to sharepickers.com and click on the link at the top, and you can still buy it from different platforms and put a review on there. That's fine. In fact, someone bought it from Apple Books yesterday, and showed me the review and rating. So I didn't realize you could buy it in Apple Books. And The Hive, someone else bought it from The Hive, whatever that is. I don't know what it is. But anyway, if you do want to access the Microcap Club, the ShareFix Investment Club with the Microcap League and all that, then, you know, you can't, well, you can buy it from Amazon, but it'll be delayed. I think by the time you get that, those final 30 spaces will be gone. So I'd advise you to buy it from somewhere else. Go to sharepickers.com, click the book, and you can see where you can buy it from, apart from Amazon. I think W.H. Smith has sold out as well. But thanks very much for listening, and speak to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Please do your own research.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.